हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 129, chapter 72, verses 12 to 14. The Pandavas conquer all directions. Sukadeva Goswami said, upon hearing these words sung by the Supreme Lord, King Yudhishthira became joyful, and his face blossomed like a lotus. Thus he sent forth his brothers, who were empowered with Lord Vishnu's potency, to conquer all directions. He sent Sahadeva to the south with the Srinjayas, Nakula to the west with the Matsyas, Arjuna to the north with the Kekayas, and Bhima to the east with the Madrakas. After defeating many kings with their prowess, these heroic brothers brought back abundant wealth for Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was intent on performing the sacrifice. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, out of affection, he sent Sahadeva to the south and Nakula to the west on considering their strength. It was certain they would conquer everyone there and surpass all difficulties, since those places were not difficult to approach and conquer. He sent Arjuna north because this direction was difficult to cross through the huge mountains, with Gandharvas and Devatas difficult to conquer. Arjuna was famous for being able to draw his bow with his left hand, Savyasachinam. In this way, he is glorified in the verse. He sent Bhima to the west. West or east?
East.
East. East.
Yeah. With expectation, he would defeat Jarasandha, who was equal to him in strength. In this way, he gave orders to them from younger to older, each with successive importance. Right? Because the north, the most difficult, because you have to go across the Himalayas and you have to deal with all of the, how do you say it? All these higher living entities. Because once you get into the Himalayas, then you're dealing with, where's that from?
Yeah.
Oh, the neem water. That's neem.
Purifying.
Yeah, yeah. You take neem leaves and soak it in water, and after a while. So if you ever wonder where the, you know, where the origin of the sattvic origin of the funny smell in onions, that's this. So this is the sattvic form.
Okay.
Yeah. The longer it's there, the more funny it gets. So. But because it's funny, all the bugs go. I was wondering, why is everybody covered in bugs? Huh? Yeah. Because otherwise you get aphids, and they don't like this. You can also you soak marigolds. They also don't like that.
In the West, actually, they make from onions this for the plants.
Yeah, but I'm saying the neem is the original, so you don't have to deal with the onions. So they don't have neem trees in the West, so they use onions.
Even gomukrans.
Huh?
Even gomukrans.
Gomukrans, yeah. But then if you let it sit, it gets...
Neem is the best.
Yeah. You can stick it all in. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, it may be noted that by dispatching his younger brothers to conquer in different directions, King Yudhishthira did not actually intend that they declare war with the kings. Actually, the brothers started for different directions to inform their respective kings about King Yudhishthira's intention to perform their Rajasuya sacrifice. The kings were thus informed that they were required to pay taxes for the execution of the sacrifice. This payment of taxes to Emperor Yudhishthira meant that the king accepted his subjugation before him. In case of of the king's refusal to act accordingly, there was certainly a fight. Thus, by their influence and strength, the brothers conquered all the kings in different directions, and they were able to bring in sufficient taxes and presentations. These were brought before King Yudhishthir by his brothers. So they didn't go to fight, they came to inform them. And if they accepted, then there was no problem. But if they wanted to fight, then there was fighting. So generally speaking, there was no fighting, but there was occasionally some fighting. You know, but generally it was the pious kings, there was no fighting. That sometimes the more demoniac, then there was a bit of fighting.
So Maharaj, we can maybe assume that at that time, in the world, it was many kingdoms, small kingdoms.
Yes.
And in every continent of the world.
Yes.
And can we say that all the four brothers, they have been to all these places?
It depends. You know that when you go back, Satya and Treta, that they're on that, whether at the end of Dwarpara that they're going so far, it's not so sure. Mm-hmm. Though you do see that they end up with some wild people on the battlefield.
Yes, yes.
Like that. But that seems to be more on Duryodhana's side. But you do get that. You know, like the Sinhalese are there. Mm-hmm. Like that. And, you know, so there's different groups. But because otherwise, then we see up to Gandhar, that's as far west as basically was there, because after that the desert, and then it starts a whole other civilization.
Yes, yes.
So whether they went there or not, then that's the point. They could go, but whether they went is not so important here.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And then east, how far you would go, you know, for the kingdoms there, that's also, you have to see how far they need to go, you know, how it's developed and everything like that. But you would see is that up to Thailand, you'd see, or Cambodia, then you had all Vedic kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you'd have that. So whether they went beyond that is another thing. Like that. And then, you know, because you also had the Himalayas up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't. So the north, then that was what Arjuna did. And then he took. But he went all the way to the other side of Jambudvipa. He didn't just go up to the north into the Himalayas. He went across the Himalayas to the other side of Meru, to the northern Kurus.
Yeah.
He did everything. So anything north. So yeah, that's why he said he gave the others that were there. Then Bhima had to deal with more difficult. But then Arjuna dealt with the most difficult.
Yeah.
Verses 15 to 46, Bhima slays Jarasandha. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when King Yudhishthira heard that Jarasandha remained undefeated, footnote 47, though Bhima was most courageous and filled with the power of the Lord, he returned without defeating Jarasandha on a secret instruction from the Lord, Srila Jiva Goswami. Right? So he basically, he didn't defeat Jarasandha, means we can understand with a secret instruction, so there's a good chance either they went there and fought and he didn't defeat him, or he didn't even go to his capital. He just went around it. Because the Lord had a different method that they were going to do. Because otherwise, the idea with Yudhishthira Maharaj, they just go out, conquer the four directions, and then they're done. Then they start preparing for the sacrifice. But Krishna had the arrangement, no, Jarasandha will be killed by Bhima, because that was already described by Uddhava, that you can't defeat him in another way. Right? Krishna could, but you know, that's another thing. But so therefore then you're going to avoid that because he has a method to get rid of him. Right? They'll go there, just the three of them, and defeat him. Right? So then that's the special.
Also, if Bhima is defeating him, if he's overpowered, he may accept the subjugation. Then the kings will not be released, all the 20,000.
Yeah, kings won't be released. That's a good point. And also, you have the aspect that you can't say that in the future he won't make trouble.
Yeah.
Like that. So this, because you want to get rid of the... Yeah. He said... okay. When King Yudhishthira heard that Jarasandha remained undefeated, he set to pondering. And then the primeval Lord Hari told him the means Uddhava had described for defeating Jarasandha. Right? So pondering things, that's part of an administrator's duties. Like Manu mentions that. So this pondering is done at times when there's, you know, one's alone. like that. So then in the evening, after the work in the kingdom, but before you get into family business, or after the family business, when everyone's taken rest, that the one can then stay up at night, and then, you know, because that time is very quiet. And he can either ponder things alone or bring his prime minister. In this case, then he discusses with Krishna. So it's part of the process. It's not that this thing of just something happens, you immediately react. No, that means that you're expert in and very things you can do. But things that are more serious, you can't just react. You have to contemplate. Right? But, and then you do something. You can't not also not do something. But the point is the contemplation is to do something. Yeah? Hari told... And then the primeval lord, Hari, told him the means Uddhava had described for defeating Jarasandha. Right?
Are you going to read the footnote?
Is there another footnote?
Yeah.
You did read.
Yes, we wrote. Oh, yeah. Now the next one comes, the 48 one we'll read.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because that was the 47. Yeah. So, in other words, that Krishna comes up with it, and then that's nice, but Uddhava comes up with it, and then Krishna follows that. That's even more fun. Because like, Uddhava said it, and everyone's going to accept Uddhava. Mm-hmm. And so then that's fun. It glorifies his devotee, and at the same time, then it creates the pastime. Thus, Bhimasena, Arjuna, and Krishna disguised themselves as brahmanas and went to Girivraja, my dear king, where the son of Brihadratha was to be found. Footnote 48. They wore the dress of brahmanas who had finished their studies. Right, so it's brahmanas who have graduated. So they're snatakas. So it's not brahmacharis in the gurukul, because they shouldn't do that because they're grihasthas. Right? So, but they could take that disguise of the snatakas. Right? Because no one's going, there's too much older than that. They're not going to accept it there necessarily, unless they were very late in, you know. So the whole idea is that them being there, because naistikas may not go out and do these things, but the snatakas, they can travel, they can go anywhere, and so then, so they'll take that dress. Disguising themselves with clothing of austere brahmanas who had finished their studies, they were blessed by friends with kind words. This means they did not go on chariots. To kill Jarasandha, it was necessary that Bhima go. The Lord explains the reason Arjuna went. I will give political counsel. Bhima has strength and Arjuna is our protector. We three, like fire, will accomplish the task. O king, however, this was only a pretext. He took Arjuna because of friendship. Right? He just wanted to hang out with him. Because whenever they would have time in the day, between, you know, sitting in the court or doing other things that were kind of like part of the scene, then he would just go out for walks or rides in chariots with Arjuna. So because he's the close friend, he's the, you know, confidential friend, so then they would go out. And so this is just a matter... Bhima has to kill him, like that. And then, but you bring along Arjuna, then they can all hang out, right? Otherwise, it may become a little too formal. Right? Girivraja was Jarasandha's city. Sukadev called to Parikit with extreme joy at the disguise of the three in Brahmana's clothing. Jarasandha was the son of Brihadratha. This indicates his great courage, since his dynasty was famous, right? So he mentions his father, because the father was very famous and very powerful. So then by mentioning that, then you can appreciate, yes.
All right, from previous in this chapter, we hear a lot that men don't spend very much time with ladies. Even the old grihasthas and married, and most of the time. So nowadays it's very different. But then, what would be the healthy proportion?
How much works?
However works?
How much works?
How much
in
works?
Other words, there's a certain volume that the relationship becomes cultivated. And then when you go beyond that, then it just creates tension.
Right.
Because the masculine and feminine nature are quite different. So they have their own worlds that they function in. So where they come together, it should be in those environments in which you can put the focus on that and cultivate that interaction. And then where they don't match, that's where you don't get involved. Yeah. You know, it's like the girls are sitting in the living room, the men are in another room, and the man comes in to get something or something from the kitchen, and they're all sitting there and crying and stuff and that, then he doesn't get involved. Because it's just, that was part of the conversation. The next minute, they'll be laughing. So it's like, you know, don't get involved. You know, if there's something wrong, then you can assess this distress, because they can just be crying because of anything. You know what I'm saying? Just the mood, you know, like that. Somebody said something nice, someone said something sad. So, you know, just it's just part of the conversation. Right? Yeah. So there's a certain amount that nourishes, and then beyond that, it's not. You know, it's just like if you, let's say, you get up in the morning and you spend the whole day together with the wife, right? Then in that, you'll get a certain volume of time that is very focused, you know, progressive interaction. Now, let us say you get up in the morning, there's a little interaction, then you go out for your service and all that, and then you come back in the evening, and then bath, this and that, and then dinner, and then you get the same volume of interaction, of good interaction.
Yeah, they call it nowadays quality time.
Yeah, it won't change. Right? Otherwise, if it was better, do you think that, what is it? John and Yoko would have gotten out of bed? No, because it just got so downright boring that they had to get out of bed and just do other things. Right? Because it doesn't improve. The more time you spend with it, doesn't make. You know, it's just like you sit there and you have a glass and a pitcher, and you fill the glass. Now, if you stay there longer, will you get more water in the glass? No, so there's a certain volume of interaction. And so that point, that's where the two connect. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's all you can do. Otherwise, the natures are different. They have their own space, their own... That's why you see is that traditionally, then there would be spaces that are the women's space and the men's space. Right, and so then they could perform and set it up and do activities there that were comfortable for them. Now, because they don't get quality time, they try to overlap everything with the idea and remove these boundaries. Because there's the idea is, okay, the women are in their space and they're not getting any happiness, but the men seems to be getting there, so they want to be part of the men's space because that will give them the happiness. But it still doesn't give anyone happiness. Just men don't get their happiness because their space is invaded, and the women don't get anything out of it because it's the men's space, not the women's space. And so, like that, when you say it's that, it's just due to lack of understanding and training. So that's why you see is because the principle is something develops, but by a difference, that's where the taste is. Right? The difference is where the taste. So the more the contradiction, the more the difference, the more the taste is when that's equalized. But it's the process of it being equalized. It's not being the equal. You understand?
Yeah.
So once it becomes equal, then that's it has its taste, but that's where it ends. Then then the point is you start over again. Because see, for the men, they would just start at that point every time. But the women take it back and reset. You know, so the men's be, why do I have to go through this whole thing again? Right? No, because that's where the taste is. Does that make sense? So, it's inherent. So if one's always around, then they'll ask you to go, and if you're not around, then they'll want you to be there. So that's why I say, make up your mind. No, because it's both. Like that. Does that make sense? So, in one sense, nowadays, because they're trying to get a taste out of these things, they put so much emphasis on it in the modern and don't talk about the other things so much. In the Vedic, then they don't have to talk about the closeness between the husband and wife so much because it's going nicely. It's the same, it's the standard stuff. And so therefore, then they talk about the other activities. Like that. So for kings, means they'll be there, they get up in the morning and everything, they do their morning sadhana, then they go to court, then they come back for lunch. So basically you say from noon until 4 o'clock, like that, 3 or 4, like this time, then they're at home, right? Which you don't have in the modern. But, you know, do you have to mention that, every time he went home for lunch and spent time with his wife and, they discussed about, what to do about, No, you don't have to. So then he'll go back to other things that are not in the court, activities, like going checking the things in the kingdom and stuff and, check the army, check the treasury, check the horses, check, all these different things. Does that make sense? Then he'll meet with, who he needs to meet with. It's the final of the day. Then it's back with the family. Then there's, the bath, there's sitting time, there's meals, there's, entertainment and all that. And then it's time to take rest. Does that make sense? So if things are normal, then that's the rest time. If not, if there's something like this, something to contemplate, something very important, you might take that time while everything's done. So you can just think about, there's nothing else to think about. And it's clear, no one else is there, no one to talk to, no distractions. You know there's going to be no distractions. But, that time is there, but it's not that it would be a regular thing. Like that. So you see is that they had the same amount of time, if not more, but it's just that it's broken up instead of, they're there in the morning and rush off and like that, when it's nothing spiritual or anything dynamic happening. Then they come back in the evening after they're tired. Well, here's they've done the work in the morning. Then they come back at noon, because at noon you can you're not too tired, and because you get a break like that, you won't be too tired in the evening either. So you see the Vedic system actually works better like that. So they're getting their time, but it's already defined, so you don't have to get into it. Now it's just what they're going to be doing, the specialness of what's happening. What is that?
A big bee.
A big bee. Oh. What color?
Black.
All black. Oh, maybe it's the Gunga bees. You get them. Somehow, the boys always call them Gunga bees. If they set up shop down at the Gunga, but they sometimes come up here for, I'm not sure why, but.
Nice. But it seems that in the Vedic culture, the ladies have a lot of association with other ladies.
Yes.
Family members.
Yeah, because then that makes it nice to be around the men for some time.
Yeah.
And then you'll be fully around the men, then it's nice to get back to association with the ladies. Just like the men are totally, absorbed in association with the ladies, and then it's nice to spend time with the men. But now, because there's no quality time in either, then neither gives you any satisfaction. It's like in the Vedic, you don't have an aphorism, can't live with them, can't live without them. In the modern, you do. In the Vedic, you don't. So,
in Vedic, it would be the opposite. You can live with them and you can live without them.
Yes, it's true. You can live with them, you can live without them. Yeah, true.
You should introduce
opposite.
This one.
Yeah, you introduce this one.
Maharaj, when functions used to happen, all home belongs to women, and men, some chairs are kept outside. Their place is out of the home, or on the terrace.
So, 5 days,
they are outside only for taking clothes.
That's true. So, let's just say it works out. The men sit out there, and they get. And so, if there's something the women want them involved, they call them in, and it's like that.
They should be available, but not inside.
Yeah, they should be available, not because the point is when women want to interact, that's when it's going to be good. Not when the men decide it's going to interact. So it works. And the men are cool because there's plenty to talk about and stuff like that. And when they went, then they're right there. So it's just, when the culture's like that, it works so comfortably. It's when you accept what the natures are, it works. Like that. Because I remember, I think it was in Thailand. We set up a center there. And we got a big kind of huge house, kind of bungalow kind of house. And we did a program, and all the Hindus came over. And so they came in, and in the front, you had the big front room, and then you had a big kitchen and everything like that. So all the men that came in, they just sat down in the front room, and all the ladies just came into the kitchen, all of them. right? And then they, because you know what's happening, we're cooking and that, and then they worked out what we were cooking and what's going on, what needs to be done. Then they kicked us out, and we went and sit with the men, and then they cooked everything, you know, so like that. Yeah, it's just it's their seed. It's not, yeah.
And the kids are at both places.
Yeah, the kids can go back and forth, whatever it is. So they make too much trouble, they go outside. When they're hungry, they go inside. Yeah. Yeah. So it works perfectly. Because the point is it's about how Krishna wants to interact. He's already defined how the interactions are nice and what creates the flavor. In other words, being God, then what's perfect in each rasa is already there. So how it'll function is already going on in the spiritual world. So then those who accept the Vedas and are pious and do everything according to the Vedas, then they'll be living the lifestyle like they are in the spiritual world. Right? The same thing, same kind of food, same kind of culture, same kind of interactions. Just the difference is, in the spiritual world, they'll follow that culture to please Krishna, while here in the material world, we'll follow it to please ourselves. And since we can't be pleased, then we're never fully pleased by it, therefore it degrades, because you know, these things are getting in the way. If we don't do those, then it just keeps going down through the four yugas until it gets down, you know, until it's so bad Krishna has to come along and, you know, make other arrangements. Right? So in the spiritual world, because it's about Krishna, then it's always increasing. It's always getting better. That's why it's the same culture. But we say perverted reflection means the consciousness is perverted. Right? Then when you give up with the recommendation of the Vedas, then the external becomes perverted also. But then that's when you take on the animal species. Right? So if you see is okay, the Indian stuff's all kind of the same, that's because it's human. Right? That's what the Veda gives. That's what goes on in the spiritual world. Then you want variety outside of the human, then you have 8,000,000 species to come up with. And then you can come up with all the varieties. So that's why in the Vedic everybody can get along. Right? Even if we're from different groups and that, but if they need, they can all work together because it's the same culture. It's just that the rich man will use more fancy stuff, or he has more influence, he'll do a wider range, while the poor person or the, you know, simple person, but the culture is exactly the same. So they can all get along. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, so getting things done or certain specific thing, then there's no problem. But in the modern, is each little group of people is totally different from the others, and they actually can't get along together. They can't even sit down and eat a meal together. Each will be, you know, why are you eating that? Who eats that? You know? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. You know, is that? Yeah. Okay, disguised as Brahmanas, the royal warriors approach Jarasandha at home during the appointed hour for receiving guests. So there's some time when guests go, they went at that time. Because then, you know, it's natural. They as snatikas, they can go anywhere as Brahmins, so they can just walk in, and they know the time, they just walk in at that time to see him. Right? Because if they come at another time, then they'll be stopped, guards will come, and they say, well, there's these funny guys out there, you know, and stuff like that. They submitted their entreaty to that dutiful householder, who is especially respectful to the Brahmin class. So now you're bringing out his qualities as how pious he is as a householder and his respect for the Brahmanas. Right? We're saying he's a demoniac because he doesn't accept the position of the Lord, and he's a total sense enjoyer. But the point is his duties as a householder he does nicely because they know that that piety gives sense gratification. And that's their point. So they're very pious. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book. King Jarasandha was a very dutiful householder, and he had great respect for the Brahmanas. He was a great fighter, a Kshatriya king, but he was never neglectful of the Vedic injunctions. According to Vedic injunctions, the Brahmanas are considered to be the spiritual masters of all other castes. Lord Krishna and Arjuna and Bhimsena were actually Kshatriyas, but they dressed themselves as Brahmanas. And at the time when King Jarasandha was to give charity to the Brahmanas and receive them as guests, they approached him. Right, so that, yeah. So they dress, because even if we see, we can say, but you know, they're not, and so when he figures it out, then he doesn't have to give. But as Manu says, if you give charity to an ordinary person, you'll get just the same amount of facility back as you gave. But if you give charity to someone who dresses or claims to be a Brahmin, though they're not, you'll get double, simply for the consideration of the Brahminical aspect. Yes. Mm-hmm. So even if nothing else, even he just gives them their charity based on that they're dressed like Brahmins, he'll get double the benefit. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So for him, there's no loss. Yes.
Maharaj, it's different when somebody is dressed as sannyas.
No. I mean, it's always double. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what is the principle what's here? Respect of authority. So if you're being respectful to the position of authority, even though the individual involved is not necessarily that respectable, still you get the benefit of supporting the principle of respect. Right? Because we have to remember is that the performance of the secondary aspects is not actually the main thing for the jiva or for Krishna. Because if it's about love for Krishna, then that means you're using the culture as the medium to serve Krishna. So the culture has its natural pious position. So having respect for authority, that is the first principle that is there in the teachings, you know, that Manu teaches in the Varnashram system. So if you have that respect, then there's always going to be benefit for that respect. Right? Then on an administrative position, administrators, you know, they see to who should be dressed as what and what occupation they're doing and all that. That's their business. But just this general kind of thing is that it's wrong, so then it's not. No, the point is what about the principle? So we're taking justices, but justice based on what? Where's the authority if, okay, they're dressed as a sannyasi, we don't have to offer them respect. On what are we basing? What are we basing the authority?
My point is, for the person who is no sannyas and dressed as sannyas, not for who gives.
Yeah, but then why switch it into sannyas? Why not keep it as a Brahmin? Because, okay, now if we're going to say, okay, the person who gives the charity to the person dressed like the Brahmin, even though they're not a Brahmin, he gets double the benefit. What's the benefit for the person who's dressing as the Brahmin who's not? Does that make sense? So if you keep it like that, then it's a continuation of the same discussion. But if you switch it into sannyas, then it takes on more of the element of authority and justice and my rights and, you know, and like this kind of, it takes on a modern social position as opposed to a Vedic cultural position.
Yes, sir, I just remember my Guru Maharaj's one disciple, he was without money somewhere in India, so he dressed as sannyas and start begging. So Guru Maharaj was very angry and said, you cannot do that, this is not proper.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Jarasandha? See, this is what we were talking about yesterday. Is I'm giving an example. The example is to show how Jarasandha is very pious. His weakness is he's a demon by mentality, just like Ravana. Very pious, but mentality is wrong. So that even you're doing everything pious, you still have to see that the mentality is about Krishna. So now we diverge the conversation into, you know, is it right or wrong to go out and present ourselves, you know, as Brahmins or as sannyasis when we're not, just for economic gain? That's a totally different discussion. Because that's based on that, then what's that's there. So, but what are we basing that point on? Just on right or wrong? Based on what? Is it about that the Shastra says, or about we feel it's wrong? Why is authority being used like this, or why people are misusing authority, or, you know? So why? Why is that wrong? That has to go back to the Shastra. Otherwise, it just stays on this kind of modern, you know, point. And so that's not the discussion at all. That's what we discussed yesterday at length about how that's what we don't want to do. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj,
yes.
It seems that for the dress, the Brahmana and Kshatriya, because it's in the battlefield, the Kshatriya, they are having the similar dress, the Tichada and the Brahmana.
Yes, no, but Tichada is the same, just like, okay, you have a pant, you have a shirt, you maybe have some kind of a jacket. What's the difference between the guy, you know, working on the street with the jackhammer and the guy going to the black tie event? Because it's just pants and shirt and
yeah.
You understand? So the subtleties within it, you can tell the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just like a suit or a tuxedo, you know, or an evening jacket. Or the subtleties within it. What's the lapel? What's it made out of? You know, all these little things. So they have those subtleties, how it's put on and stuff like that. So you wear the dhoti in one way when you're performing regular activities. For fighting, because the horses are this, then they'll put a dhoti on in a different way. But still, it's a dhoti. Right? That's that kind of thing. Yeah, because the most important thing is the armor that's there. So it's not, you know, and then the chudder is on top of that. It looks good. Like that, because it's not that you can't look good while you're, you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, it's like this. If the guy in the modern fight scene looks stupid, would people watch the movie? No, he looks totally cool, right? You know, between shots, they're doing his hair, doing his this, getting everything just perfect. You ever notice these guys are fighters? Their clothes never change. You know, they have the perfect clothes. Doesn't matter what they do, it's always exactly the same, right? You know, so that's the whole thing. So you know, the origin is it's about rasa. So they're fighting. It means the effect is you're going to win a battle and get the benefit there. But the above that is the relationship between kshatriyas on that position of fighting. You know, so that's why they come out, they talk, you know, and do all the thing, you know, insult each other. You know, that's to create the mood so there'll be a good fight. Because otherwise, if it's not a really good fight, what do you, you know, it's not very, very, yeah, it's not interesting. So you have that point, but it's still for their own satisfaction. You know, like Banasura wanted to fight with someone, but only for his own satisfaction. Not that he would do it for someone else. Like when he used all his 1,000 arms to play music for Lord Shiva, then it was very pleasing. But otherwise, his fight is just for him. So in the Vedic thing, we see Arjuna, he's fighting to please Krishna. But it's not that they don't look good also. So, you know, it's like if you go back old, even in the West, old, I mean, you see it definitely in India, but old weaponry. How ornate it was, you know, even inlaid and sometimes jewels and all kinds of things. You know, those old, like, single musket guns. So fancy. Like that. Now we get it's just, you know, just, it's not necessarily very good looking. Is that?
The samurai back then in Japan used to be very well dressed. Even men used to put on makeup and go to battlefield. Yeah. Horatio Nelson in Napoleonic times, very well dressed. On the deck, in the like the all the cannons are blowing around, and that unfortunately went led to his death also. The French decided to from the other ship, the sharpshooter decided to shoot the most well dressed person on the deck.
Yeah, because you know he must be in charge.
In charge.
Yeah. You know, so all these things, then they work it out because the case he is before is that he would be respected. You can't just anybody, because in the Vedic thing you have to challenge. You can't just, you know, just. The private can shoot the general. No, a general fights with the general.
Yes, like that.
So they wouldn't shoot the guy. They know he's there. The men would come forward. They would battle. And the two guys like that, you know, you see even sometimes, was it World War One with the biplanes? You know, because the pilots all had to be from aristocratic families. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to be Vaughn something. Otherwise, they weren't in the plane. Right? And so, if they crashed on their side, they didn't kill them. They would bring them over, they'd sit around, you know, drink some schnapps or whatever it is like that, and, you know, talk and this and that, and then they'd send them back to their camp. Like that. You know, if it was someone else, no, they wouldn't get that treatment. You know, they'd end up in, you know, in jail. But, you know, so it's just, there was that culture of dealing with that etiquette. You would see that, you know, even sometimes when the head, you know, the generals and other things during World War II, when they'd surrender, they wouldn't take all their weapons. They'd take their main things and that, but they'd leave them with their, you know, anything that distinguished them. Mm-hmm. You know, like that, because the dignity, because they understand, we're military, you're taking care of your men, we're taking care of ours. Just, we won. So you see it, down on the lower level, they may fight and poke each other and harass and that, but on these upper levels, they wouldn't. So the whole thing of that dignity, that culture, it's all part of the flavor of it. That's why you see, even in all of this, so it's like the Greeks and stuff like that, they'd be out fighting. They have a sword and a shield. they're totally naked, but they have a real fancy helmet. You know, whether with a feather on it or some streamer, you know, like that something, you know, they got to have, you know, so it's just part of the scene. You know, it's got to be good because fighting is so important. So it's, you put your effort into what's good, you know. Like if you like driving, you have a fancy car, you like, yeah, that's fancy, and clothes, then that's fancy. So fighting, then that's fancy. You know? So it's just part of the thing is that when you say difference, it's how they'll wear, what they'll wear. You know, it's just like you have a dhoti, you have a cotton dhoti. You go to the temple for the program, someone else is wearing a silk dhoti. Someone else is wearing a silk dhoti with a fancy border. You know, someone else is wearing a cotton dhoti because it's hot, but with a silk border. You know, then you know, okay, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So, you know, like in South India, there are cotton dhotis that are way more expensive than your general silk dhotis. Like that. Then they have the silk ones that are like that, but generally those are called saris, you know, so. You know, the full thing, that's the ladies have, right? You know, like you said before, they get the whole house, the men get the, you know, the veranda, so they get the decoration on the whole piece of cloth, and the men just get it on the border. Yeah, good balance. Yeah.
I seen one on the border. It was blue and green flowers.
Oh. Okay.
Flowers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They are selected by Mataji's only.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like in North, you see them wearing purple dhotis and all kinds of far out things. It's just, in certain things, you can get away with it. You have to be able to pull it off. So, in other words, that guy didn't pull it off. Like that. But probably if, what's his name? Brad Pitt had been wearing it, it would have been good. Yeah.
But Lord gets all of it.
Yeah, he gets all of it. Yeah, because you look at him, what he's wearing. And he's cool. He still looks masculine. That's the whole point. As I said, it's, even though everything's manifest by his internal potency, you can still tell what's masculine and what's feminine. Okay. Srila Sridhara Goswami continued, Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima said, O king, know us to be needy guests who have come to you from afar. We wish all good unto you. Please grant us whatever we desire. Jiva Goswami comments, know that we are guests, and moreover, we are begging and have come from afar. Right? Because if they're just local, then it doesn't need as much attention. Because it has to be a Brahmin who's from another place. That's what you call specifically atiti. If it's local Brahmins, they're dealt with nicely, but according to the situation. But it's a Brahmin that's come from a distance and has come to you. That's atiti. So then they make sure you understand all those things. Like that. They did not say they were Brahmanas because they did not want to lie. Right? They just go by, we are needy guests, because they could be anything. But the point is that needy guest means we have something we desire. We wish all good unto you because, you know, everything should go nicely and all that. He should be in a pious mood, so he gives that, like that. And please grant us whatever we desire. So they don't say, but by how they're dressed, you take it that they're Brahmins. And otherwise, only Brahmanas would ask. Kshatriyas wouldn't. You know, it's just like, we just had the previous, what is it, Samba? You know, because he doesn't go there and ask for the girl. He just goes and takes the girl. Because that's just the Kshatriya mood. Right? And when they say, well, what about the girl will think? Because, okay, he asked, that's nice. But if he just comes and takes, it means he's powerful. Because she's a Kshatriya, so she can handle it. You know, as we see, as you know, Krishna kidnaps Rukmini, and she's driving the chariot while Krishna's fighting. So it's not a problem. You know, they're cool, right? You know. It is proper that you give to us, since you are a king. A king must give a Brahmin what a Brahmin asks. May you have all good fortune. They encouraged him by giving blessings like Brahmins. Right? Because if there's good fortune, then there's going to be benefit from this. Actually, this blessing indicates he would get liberation. Right? You know, so he's indicating you will get all good fortune. So what's the best fortune is to get freed from the material existence, which you will get. Give what we desire, that will bring you good fortune, right? So by giving them what they desire, he'll get liberation. Or give us because we desire something from you so that we can have good fortune, right? Means that we get this from you, we can do the Rajasuya, like that. But it works out. We do Rajasuya, you get liberated, you know, everyone's happy. What can the tolerant not bear? What will the wicked not do? What will the generous not give in charity? And who will those of equal vision see as an outsider? Right. So you're quoting this aspect of the scriptural definition. So then, because they're all right, what can the tolerant not bear? Yeah, they, you know, like Harish Chandra, like that. What will the wicked not do? So you know that they'll do anything. So you're agreeing with all. What, the generous not given charity? Yes, that's true. And now they're asking for charity. So he wants to be in that one, not what will the wicked not do, right? You know, so. And who are those of equal vision see as an outsider? So you don't see as an outsider. You know, we're here. We're Brahmins. You respect Brahmins and so like that. The BBT purport states, in the previous verse, Lord Krishna and the two Pandava brothers, Bhima and Arjuna, requested Jarasandha to grant them whatever they asked of him. Here they explain why there is no need for them to specify their desire. Because it's just, why will not do? Because otherwise, okay, what do you desire? Or he might put a condition. You know, like Arjuna, they come to him and say, I have a desire, please grant me the desire. And he says, if it's within my power and it's not against my duties, then I can give it to you. Right, but if it's against the Vedic version and it's outside of my capacity, then I can't give it. So they're just saying, you know, just you should grant this because what will the generous not give in charity? Right? The Acharyas comment on the verse as follows. Jarasandha might be thinking, what if you request my son from whom separation would be intolerable? To this possible objection, Krishna and the Pandavas reply, for a tolerant person, nothing is intolerable. Similarly, Jarasandha could object, what if you ask to give my body or my precious jewels and other ornaments which are meant to be given to my sons, not to ordinary beggars? To this they reply, for the generous, what is not to be donated in charity? In other words, everything is to be given. Jarasandha might also object that he could be giving charity to his enemies. To this, his guest encounter with the statement ka para sama darshinam, for those with equal vision, who is the stranger? Thus Sri Krishna and the Pandavas encouraged Jarasandha to simply agree to grant their request without further discussion, because once he's granted, now they can say what it is. Right? So we see here is whatever they're doing is within the context of the Vedic version. It has these higher principles to it. So the activity is there, but the activity is based on the good qualities. Right? And then those good qualities, then if you're materialistic, they'll stop just with there, with glory and fame and, you know, something of this world. But for the devotee, then it goes beyond to please Krishna. Right? So the Vedic version is the best, so that's why then it's used. But it's not just, it's a technique. No, the Vedic version already concludes all the technique. But the point is this, the technique is there without breaking the culture and encouraging. So in other words, he's being encouraged in Dharma by this method. Right? At the same time, as they see that through Dharma, they make sure that everything that they're doing. So it's not being tricky as such. It is cultivating the culture. Does that make sense? So depending if he wasn't an enemy as such, then, you know, it could develop a friendship. But he's an enemy as such, then, you know, it's not going to end up, it's going to end up, you know, how you say, he's not going to survive the process. But he'll get liberated. And you see, in between, because of how they've done, and they've based it on Dharma, and he values Dharma, therefore, so it's, even though they're tricky and clever, the only thing that was tricky was that they dressed as Snatakas. But otherwise, how they spoke, what they said, everything was true and according to Dharma. And so then, after the battle, you know, the day's fighting, then they would sit together and have dinner and, you know, all these things and discuss and talk Kshatriya stuff, you know, like that. You know, and then the next morning after their bath and charity and all those things that they're supposed to do, then again, you know, they start the battle. So, you know, it's just the Vedic culture is like that. It would be much nicer, wouldn't it be? You know, the guy's out on the battlefield. You know, the sun goes down, everybody stops battle, you go back to your camp, you have dinner, you this and that, and you like that, have a good night's rest in the morning, get up, you know, take your bath, chant your rounds, do all your stuff, and then at, you know, 6 o'clock when it starts, then you start the fighting again. You know what I'm saying? So much more human. And they would, you know, the battle would be better, people would be able to think better. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't bother the local residents because you wouldn't fight in the city. You know, so just everything stays. So all that happens is warriors fight. Everybody else, their facilities remains. As it is now, warriors fight, destroy everyone's facility. So even if you win, there's no facility. You know, the Vedic is everything stays in place. Nothing gets disturbed. Only the warriors fight. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami adds, here they indicate that Jarasandha has tolerance, generosity, and equal vision. Therefore, you should give us what we desire. Otherwise, if you didn't have, why would you mention this to someone who has none of these qualities? Right? You notice that they throw in what the wicked won't do because it's just one of the things that happens. But for him, they were just talking about the others. Even though he is wicked. Therefore, you should give us what we desire. And if you do not have these qualities, then you should not give. Right? So you don't have to give if you don't have these qualities. Mm-hmm. But now, being king of his standard, he has to have the qualities because of, you know, his ego. What cannot be done by you? By asking in this way, they were skillful at first praising and then criticizing. Right? So they praised. And so therefore, then, who will not see like that? Who would see? So you see is that the praising. What will the generous not give in charity? So he's the generous. He's generous, so they're praising him. But will not give in charity means if you don't give, then you're not generous. You see? Very clever. Very clever. Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima continued. He indeed is to be censured and pitied who, though able to do so, fails to achieve with this temporary body the lasting fame glorified by great sense. Harish Chandra, Ranti Dev, Unchavriti, Mudgala, Shibi, Bali, the legendary hunter and pigeon, and many others have attained the permanent by means of the impermanent. Right? They've used their situation, which is impermanent, for great deeds, you know, a great charity and all that. And they've attained, you know, in the case of here, what we call the permanent. Right, from here, then going to the heavenly planets is called permanent because it's so long. Right, you know, in philosophy you don't, but in culturally you call that's the permanent. Does that make sense? So they've all attained such glorious positions and they're remembered to this day. That's why you can mention their names. And even the hunter and the pigeon, you don't know their names. If I just mentioned some hunter and some pigeon, you don't, but I mentioned the hunter and pigeon, everyone knows the story. Right, they're very famous. The BBT purport states, here Lord Krishna, the two Pandavas are pointing out to Jarasandha the one can use the temporary material body to achieve a permanent situation in life. And so especially liberation, that's a permanent situation. That's even more permanent than the heavenly planets. Right? But he'll be thinking of it, you know, material enjoyment, not liberation exactly. Or at least not this type of liberation. Right? Or this detail of how he attained liberation. Right? Because Jarasandha was a materialist, they appealed to his natural interest in the heavenly planets, where life lasts so long that it appears permanent to people on earth. Srila Sita Swami briefly summarizes the history of the personalities mentioned in the verse. To pay off his debts to Vishwamitra, Harishchandra sold everything he had, including his wife and children. Right? And that includes himself. Right? You know, it means he just, everything. Yet even after attaining the status of a Chandala, he did not become discouraged. Thus he went to heaven, together with all the inhabitants of Ayodhya. Rantidev, after going without even water for 48 days, somehow attained some food and water, but when some beggars came and take, he gave it all away to them. In this way he attained Brahmaloka. Mudgala followed the practice of gathering grains left behind in the fields after the harvest, yet still he was hospitable towards uninvited guests, even after his family had been suffering in poverty for 6 months, right? Because if you're gleaning from the field, how often is the harvest? Yeah, it depends on where you are. Once, twice, maximum three times a year. So that means is that you get that and that's what you have, but it doesn't mean that guests come, that he doesn't take care. Right? So it's not that he's gleaning from the marketplace where you can get something every day. He's gleaning from the field. Right? That's why it says don't glean the field. Thus he also went to Brahmaloka. Quote, to protect a pigeon who had taken shelter of him, King Shibi gave his own flesh to a hawk and attained heaven. Balimars gave all his property to Lord Hari when the Lord disguised himself as a dwarf Brahmana, Brahmana Deva. Right? So even though here they're disguised as Brahmanas, that it's still good for him. It worked out for Bali, right? And so Bali gained the Lord's personal association. So he gained, you know, of all these, he gained the best. The pigeon and his mate gave their own flesh to a hunter as a show of hospitality. And thus they were taken to heaven in a celestial airplane. When the hunter understood their situation in the mode of goodness, he also became renounced. And thus he gave up hunting and went off to perform severe austerities. Because he was freed of all sins, after his body burned to death in a forest fire, he was elevated to heaven. Thus many personalities have attained enduring life on higher planets by means of the temporary material body, right? So that's the whole point, is that by the use of the temporary, you can get something higher. If that principle wasn't there, how would you make profit? I get something for 10 rupees, I sell it for 20 rupees. If that's not possible, so that means there's a potency of the Lord that that's possible. So by the potency of the Lord, you can use the temporary material body to get something of a higher position of status in the heavenly planets, liberation, or eternal life in the spiritual realm. Right? So that's the whole thing, that you're being traded. You're not being cheated. It's much greater profit. Right? You know, so like millions, billions, and unlimited. These are the profit you get for, you know, one unit of whatever you're putting in. Right, so it's a good deal. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.